In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast. This is it. Week one is here. Texans and the Colts on Sunday. You can hear the game at noon. Kickoff right here on Sports Radio 610. Seth and myself on Texans Countdown at 9 a.m. Getting you ready for that. And you know it's football season when we go to the hotline. And there he is on the hotline. It's our good friend Ross Tucker, Seth, who's our Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls.
We were trying to get Casario back on.
At 9 for a round two, a doubleheader. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. I didn't make that up. That's the copy.
Yes, Ross Tucker. That's speaking for Mayo.
Yeah.
This is what I am here for.
Yeah. What's up, Rossi?
So, dude, I just am coming on for the first time. I have 10 comments based on the first 30 seconds I just heard right there. So first of all, that is genius. What did they say again? Mayo have a good time?
Mayo. I'll read it again. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
I love that.
Yeah, that's your tag.
I love play on words. I love dad jokes. I am. Yeah. That's my first time. This is my first official hit of the 24 season. So that's my first time hearing that.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Number one. Number two, you know, we're supposed to do this at 7 a.m.
Right.
So did I get bumped by Casario again? Like, is that how we're starting the season?
Kind of.
Well, it was a soft bump.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a little boil on your the surface of your skin. It was a soft bump because we like having you on. But one of the hazards is always that because we enjoy talking to you so much that we screw up our clock and we blow through a break or something. So we figured in having you at 7, but then also trying to, you know, be sure that we tend to go along with Casario too, that it was probably going to be, it would have been a disaster for our clock and for our sponsors, like Hellman's Real Mayo. They may have been upset with us. Yeah.
Exactly. So the answer, Ross, is yeah. I mean, for like the fourth time in the last year, you kind of got pumped for Nick Casario. Yes.
But are your guys' ratings still like off the charts? Because I go on a lot of radio stations around the country, and you guys are awesome. Like, I hope everybody driving or whatever listening to you guys knows, like, you guys are the real deal. Like, you guys are highly entertaining. So I do these and I like doing these, but there's some that I like more than others. Like, there's some that are just better conversations. I mean, half the time when I'm talking with you guys, I forget that I'm on the radio and like thousands of people are listening.
Yeah. Well, and you don't curse either.
Hundreds
usually
of thousands.
Usually, yeah, hundreds of thousands. Usually when people get that way, they drop curses. Let's talk about the ones that suck. Who are the ones that are really bad? I'm just joking, Ross. I don't want you to do that.
No, I can't. That same company. Can't tell you.
Oh, that's right. Okay, gotcha.
No, there's times when you're doing interviews with radio hosts where you know, because, you know, we all succumb to this at times, but there's the ones that you can tell are not listening to you. And like whatever question they ask, they're almost caught by surprise when you stop talking because they're like looking up something on the internet. Yeah, there's a broad spectrum.
And literally, there's no like laughing.
Yeah.
There's no joking around or like it's not a conversation. It's like they have written down, who is your surprise team this year, Ross? And then I answer that. And then the next, it's like, okay, our team is playing this team on Sunday. What would you think is the biggest X factor in this game? And I'm just like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The X factor is probably your wife because she probably left you because you're boring the heck out of me.
I'm going to steal that.
I dare you to say that next time.
Yes. Yes. X Factor. Oh, man.
Oh, you know what, though? I'm going to write that down as a topic.
By the way, whoever – can I ask you this? Who said, number one, whoever invented the whole thing of an X Factor? I don't even know what that means, number one. And number two, I'm actually writing a column this week for the 33rd team about – my team, I think, has the best chance to be this year's Texans, so to speak, like with what you guys did last year. And the reason I came up with the idea is, it's like, is it mandatory in radio host school that you have to ask in the month of August and early September who a guy's surprise team is? I'm like, I don't know. I don't really have a surprise team. I think the team that are good are going to be good. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know what that means. Surprise, like, surprise in what way? You know, like if I knew the Texans last year were going to go to the divisional round, I wouldn't have been telling people they're going to be my surprise team. I would have told everybody I know to bet a lot of money on the Texans to win the division.
Yeah.
And win a playoff game. You know what I mean? Like if I really had strong inklings about a surprise team, they wouldn't be a surprise to some people.
Well, that's actually, we're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
It is the X factor in any recipe.
Bingo, Seth. That's where it came from, Ross. It came from chicken salad recipes, the X factor.
I think it came just from algebra, like solve for X equals whatever. So it's like, I don't know.
Probably. Yeah. Chicken salad recipes are more fun, though. So, Ross, there's a good segue into Texans talk here because you've been doing hits with us now for at least two seasons, which means you were doing hits with us during the Lovie Smith season, which was really bad. It resulted in C.J. Stroud becoming a Houston Texan. How crazy is it that less than 2 years after that you're getting asked who could be the Houston Texans of 2024?
Well, first of all, we've been doing this at least 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Thanks for paying attention, Sean. That's
it. Only
one.
Hey, Ross, I mean, it only feels like two. Okay, just so you know.
Yeah, I get. Well, good. That's a compliment, right. I guess.
Yeah.
Because if you remember, I was the first person globally to say that Lovie Smith was going to be one and done.
You did
and
say that.
It was early in the year.
Yeah.
When we didn't even know what their record was going to be, I just assumed that he was going to be one and done. I thought that they couldn't get the guy they really wanted, so then they were like, okay, we'll just have Lovie for a year. And you guys were all so surprised, and like the other guys on your station ran with my audio in the morning like, oh my gosh, could they really be one and done 2 years in a row? Yeah, for sure. And they were. What's really crazy is that we're 2 years removed. I think there's an outstanding chance that the Texans – get to the conference championship game, maybe even the Super Bowl. I mean, I was doing my power rankings on today's Ross Tucker Football Podcast. I might even be too low on the Texans. I think I had them eighth. But when I think about the AFC and I think about the teams that can challenge the Chiefs, I'm not sure the Texans aren't second. I mean, certainly the Bengals are in the mix, but, you know, Burrow's always injured, it seems like. And Chase right now, we don't know if he's going to play. The Buffalo Bills, I'm doing their game Sunday on CBS against the Arizona Cardinals. And they, I would say, objectively are not as talented as they've been the last couple of years. And maybe they win. I don't know. The Chiefs won it the year they got rid of Tyreek Hill, so you never know. I look at the Texans, though, And they were very good last year. We saw how they performed in the playoffs. You add a guy like Stephon Diggs. You have a healthy Tank Dell. I think Mixon's kind of the sustaining back. You know, if they have leads. And then Danielle Hunter, as well as Bernard played, I think Danielle Hunter's an upgrade. I think Al Shire's an upgrade. I mean, I think they're there. And we'll see. Maybe it's a sophomore slump, or maybe it doesn't happen. But I think you can make a really compelling case that the Texans are second, are the second best team in the AFC, and or have the best chance to knock off the Chiefs and get to the Super Bowl.
Well, okay. This is one of the reasons I was excited to talk to you today about the Texans. And when it comes to, okay, how has the team improved or how should we look at them? Is you played for a few NFL teams, but I feel like you've always given the Bills your most favored nation status amongst teams that you played for. Like you, it feels like you have an emotional tie to the Bills, and I know you follow them pretty closely. Where do you stand on any of the drama or any of the speculation about Stephon Diggs and how he might fit in with the Texans and all of that? Because you've watched it play out for the last couple of years.
Yeah, really good question. You know, there are certain guys that it seems like at times are happy being unhappy or get frustrated easily. I think Diggs is in that category. I will say, I think it feels like it always is in a good place the first year or two. I don't know. It just seems like he wears out his welcome. I mean, for the Bills to move on from him, having him under contract for several more years, and having Josh Allen in his prime, it says a lot. And it's obviously not a positive in my mind for Diggs, but the flip side is it seems like he is able to finagle his way seemingly into better situations. I mean, the guy just got a raise and he got a couple years taken off his contract so he can hit free agency again. And probably went to a better team. He certainly went to a state where there's a lot less state income. Like, Stephon Diggs just keeps winning in terms of the business of football.
Ross Tucker joining us. Well, I can tell you Ross and Seth could too. I mean, we were out at practically every practice. He's been, in my opinion, he's been their best offensive player out there during training camp this season. And he's been overtly like a big time leader, like constantly mentoring the younger guys on both sides of the football. Does that sound on brand from the Stephon Diggs that you knew from his time in Buffalo?
Yeah, it seems like, and by the way, I don't know how much you guys have talked with him, but I've interviewed him a couple times. He's fantastic.
Very thoughtful. You know what I mean? Like, very thoughtful.
My interactions with him are amazing. He smiles and he's happy. And before the game, he throws the ball with fans in the stands. I mean, I hate the notion that guys can start to be malcontents because they just want to win so bad, right? Like, as if Seth and I didn't give a crap whether or not we won games, right? You know, like, the whole notion of, oh, yeah, well, he just wants to win that bad. However, I will say it seems like the deal with him is that after a few years, if they haven't been able to get over the hump, I think he starts to really, really get frustrated. I think he starts to and express that frustration in an unhealthy manner. And so I think, obviously, he's still in the honeymoon period with the Houston Texans. I think he really wants to win a Super Bowl, wants to get to one, and was frustrated that he didn't think he's going to be able to do it in Minnesota with Cousins, and then it just wasn't happening in Buffalo with Josh Allen. And so now he kind of got what he wants. He got a really good situation to now be in with the Houston Texans, where he has an excellent, excellent opportunity.
You know what, Ross? I had a conversation with an NFL personnel guy a long time ago, and it kind of changed my worldview on some of this stuff, which was he was talking about how a specific player was a front runner. You know, like, you know, as long as things were going well, then it's, you know, this guy's great. He's awesome. And your first old school instinct is to be like, well, no, you need foxhole guys that are always going to be there, even if times are tough. But I think there's where it changed for me is, all right, you know what? If everything's going great, then it's not a problem at all. If everything's going poorly, then we've got other fish to fry aside from the disgruntled dude. So maybe you should rethink the way you think about front-running type of personalities. And it's not awful to have front-runners on your team, especially for the short term. And if everything goes well, it's not even going to be a concern. So I think that's... Would it be fair to say, all right, maybe he's a front runner, maybe he's not, but if the plan goes according to schedule, then it's a non-factor?
Correct. Yeah, I don't think... Now, the only thing that is unique about Stephon is I think he also... And look, he wants it all, and that's fine. I want it all, too. You know what I mean? I want it all. He wants it all, and he wants a new contract from somebody. And so... I think as long as he is playing well and catching the ball and getting a lot of passes thrown his way and they're winning, I think he'll be great. I think the question is, you know, what happens if either one of those things start to not happen? If they face adversity as a team and lose a couple games in a row, or if, you know, like I feel like it's interesting because you could argue he's their number three receiver. Now, I know what you said, Sean, about...
Did we just lose Ross?
Yeah, and I don't think he was like intentionally, you know, dumping because he didn't want to answer the question.
No, I don't think so either. He was on a roll right there. Yeah, I don't know if he can hear us or not. Yeah, we just
All right. You guys can't hear me?
Oh, now you cut out. You cut out right after you said Sean. You cut out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was about to criticize you. No.
Who's your surprise team this year?
Practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're saying about Diggs in practice, but you know, I think there are people like Greg Cosell on my show, the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, that think that Diggs might be the number three option for the Texans this year.
Yeah,
and so when you start to think about that, you wonder, will he get frustrated if he is in fact number three option? What I think is interesting about that is if you're playing against the Texans. Do you treat Diggs like the number one he's been his whole career and double him so that he gets frustrated and hopefully in your mind has a meltdown, right? Or do teams say, you know what, Nico Collins is we're more concerned about Nico and we're more concerned about Tank Dell and does Diggs get a lot of really favorable matchups as a result? Because I think he can tear those up, especially if he's getting favorable matchups. Which reminds me, by the way, because I am writing a column about this year's Texans. What was the deal with Noah Brown? That surprised me a little bit.
Just banged up.
Too many other guys?
He didn't practice. He was gone for like a month with a shoulder injury. He couldn't stay healthy.
And he was he was out like six or seven games last year. And it's a really deep wide receiver room.
With,
they've got John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson are the two young guys that I think they just they like the upside of those guys. So it was a really crowded competition.
You know, that says a lot about the Texans organization and about Nick Caserio that they would cut a guy who's guaranteed $3 million.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot of organizations that would do that. So, you know, there's places where the ownership would say, yeah, no, we're keeping him. You know, we guarantee him $3 million, we're keeping him. And there's also, you know, GMs that just wouldn't do it because they think it would look bad that they cut a guy that they gave $3 million to. Kudos to the McNair family and Caserio for saying, yeah, we don't care. We're trying to win the Super Bowl. Like, you know, it's $3 million. We don't love it, but some of it will be offset by whatever he gets from his next team. And we're doing what's best for this roster to win the Super Bowl this year. I love it.
That's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. Our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, world traveler, by the way. Hey, were you? My wife and I were in a sports book on Friday night, and the Army-Lehigh game was on, and they didn't have the sound. I'm like, oh, Ross is probably doing this game, but you were in Hawaii, huh?
Yeah, I only have one Army game this year. It's Air Force at Army. I guess I'm, you know how much I love doing those games, but I guess I'm kind of moving up in the world of broadcasting, or I got a promotion. So last year, I'm on the sixth crew for NFL, so I'll get like 7 to 9, I guess, or 7 or 8 NFL games in addition to calling the second college football game for CBS each week. So this past week it was UCLA at Hawaii. So
rough
not,
life.
Not a bad opener. Not a bad opener out there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
This week I'm in Buffalo, which they say is the Hawaii of Western New York.
That's funny. Dude, all the cadets are going to be like, they're going to be like music fans when their favorite garage band gets bumped up and they're playing big arenas. Like, I knew that guy back when he was playing his own stuff back in Tootsie's Bar and Grill. That's you now for all the Army people. Hey, look at Ross, big shot, doing games in Hawaii and NFL games.
We'll see, but I'm glad I still have one that I get to go there and have that delicious food and see the pageantry. That game will be epic. Air Force game will be incredible at Mikey. So I'm getting best of both worlds, Bills.
We're proud of you, man. And we're happy to have you on during the season. On Tuesdays, it'll normally be at 7 a.m. Our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day. Be delicious. Ross, we appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week at 7, I promise.
See you, dude.
All right, thanks, Ross. See
you, dude. I think you got to deliver that. You're being a little too conspicuous with the way you're delivering
it. I
just got to say, Mayo game day be delicious.
I get because the day that gets plunked in there messes with me because they have it as two words. Okay.
They just read the way it's written down.
Yeah, that's
Mayo game day be delicious.
Ben, if you can remember, if you can combine game and day into one word, if I forget to do it, Ben's like, screw you, dude. I've got so much stuff going on in here. I need to combine words for you on the rundown. Get the hell out of here. Mayo game day be delicious. Yes, Hellman's Real Ross speaking for mayonnaise is beautiful. All right. Something that's got me incredibly nervous about the Houston Texans and the Colts on Sunday at noon, a game you can hear on Sports Radio 610. That is next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Someone texted in. Were people really surprised that Lovey was one and done? or is Ross just tooting his own horn? I don't think that people were ultimately surprised at, by the end of the season, but Ross said that like midway through the season. It was a cut that got a lot of traction on our shows here on the station.
It was early in the season. Yeah. At the point where I think the way we were looking at it, and I think a lot of people were at the time, and I know a bunch of listeners probably disagreed with us, so credit to them, whomever they are.
Sure.
Wherever you choose to remember what your opinion was. But I think at the time it was, man, the Texans couldn't become this team that just fires a coach every single year. And yet they did. And part of that, too, was if you place it in the where they were in terms of, all right, how much of a turnaround can you have and what kind of a coach are you actually going to be able to attract at this point? Early in that 2021 season, I think it just felt unlikely that's what would happen. That it felt like, okay, this is going to be a bridge coach scenario and nobody knows exactly how it's all going to play out. And remember, at that point, Deshaun Watson hadn't been traded yet.
Right.
So it was like, that was the big, there were so many unknowns that maybe we're guilty of just being a little too married to the situation and too close to it. But there were, I would say the consensus opinion at the time was, well, all right, look, Culley was a huge mistake, but Lovey at the very least makes sense as a bridge coach that you keep around until you can get some other things right. And you're operating while trying to figure out what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. The King's ransom of Deshaun Watson picks and everything else that went along with it, I think just changed things.
Yep.
After in perception about the team.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, the Deshaun trade came down in like a month after they hired Lovey that offseason. Yeah. But yeah, like that Ross was on that early, man. I remember listening to it on other shows, them playing that cut. So yeah.
We got to get into what's making you nervous about the Texans right now, but I also got a DM from one of our listeners, Michael Beckman, that I want to just remind me to discuss. He took umbrage with the way that he felt like Nick was taking a shot at me during our interview.
Oh, really?
So, we'll have to discuss this.
Okay. If you missed that interview, it's on the podcast. It's a rewind feature. We did it at 7:30 today. Nick Caserio joined us for about 45 minutes. My big reason that I am nervous about the Houston Texans and the Colts this Sunday has nothing to do with really any matchup or anything like that. I think the Texans have a good chance of handling Anthony Richardson. I think the Colts... I think it's going to be tough for them to find answers to C.J. Stroud in this passing game. To the point of our conversation with Ross Tucker in the previous segment, I am kind of interested to see how the mouths all get fed on Sunday. I'm not nervous about any of that. What I'm nervous about is you people out there that are hammering the Texans at -2.5. How many of you? Well, I don't know the exact sheer volume in terms of bodies, but I can tell you in terms of percentages that out in Vegas and the various sports books across our great nation, 85% of the bets, 91% of the money are on the Houston Texans -2.5 on the road at Indianapolis. And Indy's not a bad team. Like, they're not a bad team. Like, normally, you're favored on the road by nearly a field goal. You're probably playing, you know, unless you're the Chiefs and you're favored against everybody.
Right.
You're like the Texans, that either the Colts are getting disrespected here or the Texans are getting incredible respect.
And I think whenever the public jumps on one side, like the public, this is where I know it makes you nervous. Yeah, when the public jumps on one side, it's a lot of times an indication that people aren't thinking with their brains as much as their hearts and their guts.
Yeah.
And it makes you nervous.
The house begs for this.
I don't think it should make you nervous, Sean, in that the odds makers, as close as they actually saw this game, had it pretty close to an even matchup.
Yeah.
And a lot of that, like, that doesn't change. The Texans were favored on the road. I think the odds makers, and even if they had already adjusted for public perception at some point, I think they look at the Texans as right now a better team. If only you go by the fact that the both have a lot of pluses on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. But C.J. Stroud is a much more proven commodity at this point than Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. That's the giant wild card, is that nobody really knows just what Anthony Richardson is as a quarterback right now.
I agree with that. I think this is also a function of the a kind of almost Texans infomercial that this offseason has been with pundits around the league. You know, like everybody loves the Texans. They're everybody's surprise team. They're everybody's, you know, new contender. They're the answer to many people's who can challenge the Chiefs in the AFC question. I think that has a lot to do with it as well. Like there's the segment that we did like 2 weeks ago where we took Joe Fortenbaugh's thoughts on the Texans on First Take. Joe Fortenbaugh's a betting expert on ESPN. And they had to do like, who's the team that you think is going to be a disappointment? And he picked the Texans and he had some reasons for it. I don't know if I totally agree with them, but they were sound, debatable reasons for why. I just remember doing that segment. I'm like, this is one of the only guys you can find right now among the national media who's saying this about the Texans.
Right.
Everybody else, for the most part, is saying that the Texans are ready to take that next step. And I think that's why the line started with the Colts were favored at one point in the offseason in this game by one. This thing has gone through the zero to the Texans now being -2.5.
I forgot that they were +1.
They were,
oh,
yeah, they
man.
Like the Colts were favored.
Yeah.
The Colts were favored at one point during this offseason. For the spread to move is one thing, but for the public to decide we don't think this team is going to win, that team is going to win, is a big deal.
And there's not anything really. I guess the one substantive thing that might have skewed things from the odds maker's perspective was Anthony Richardson in that final preseason game where he threw a pick six. I thought that from an Anthony Richardson perspective, going back and watching that game, and they're going versus the Bengals twos and threes. Like, honestly, in watching that game, it was a pain in the butt because I had to go back and find an old depth chart because half the guys on the Bengals defense aren't even on the Bengals team anymore. I thought I saw more good than bad, and I also think that Shane Steichen was specifically instructing Anthony Richardson not to run on a lot of the RPOs and the zone reads and things like that. So, I think that I think substantively nothing's changed other than that Christian Harris isn't going to be available for sure.
Right.
And Will Anderson is injured. So that shouldn't make it that heavily of a Texans favorite.
The injury report this week is going to be an interesting one to see I'm totally guessing, but Will Anderson, should we hope for limited in practice? Like, that would at least indicate that he's going to play this weekend?
He's been running for a couple of weeks now, and I think he plays. I think right now it might be more gamesmanship than anything else that they're going to. We've seen this with the Texans. They've done a good job of it. They've held things close to the vest when it comes to, hey, you know, Davis Mills is nobody knew for sure who was going to start that game against the Titans, and people assumed it was Davis Mills because the Texans didn't give out any information about it.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play, but I think they're going to be very, very coy about it.
Yeah. I'm anxious to see how he's categorized going into this game, Will Anderson, with this ankle injury. Text message, I think Indy runs the ball down our throats. I hope not.
Right, and it's one thing, we talked about this a little bit earlier, because Shane Steichen is so good at the RPOs and because that puts your linebackers in such a bind, when you play against the Colts, I think there is a little bit of you instructing your linebackers to be very, very careful about being hyper-aggressive versus the run.
Mm-hmm.
This is one thing that Anthony Richardson does well. As raw and unpolished as he is as a passer, he's got incredible arm talent despite his weird delivery and everything else like that. He does have the ability to make really good throws, but he's also still very young in some respects and unpolished, both with his accuracy and some of his decision-making. But he's really good with his mechanics on the RPO side of things, executing his fakes, all of that. And I think in some regard, as tough as it was playing against Gardner Minshew in the RPOs, it's that much harder with Anthony Richardson. So I think they'll concede some yardage in the run game. I think it's going to be very much about, like, we can't get crushed with play action the way we did so much of last year. So I'm not sitting here saying that it's cool if Jonathan Taylor runs for 188 yards, but I think he's going to get his. I think he's going to eat a little bit.
That makes sense. All right, hang on to your Michael Beckman DM. We'll get to that in the next segment. Also, there's a couple bets here at the station, as long as we're talking about gambling, that need to get paid off. One between me and Lopez. We'll hash that out during the toss here. And there's another one. I've got the audio of the this was a great bet between Ron and Tyler that needs to get paid off now too, thanks to the Astros. We will get to that coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll talk to John Lopez and Reggie Atatula in just a little bit. They are in the loop. Quick text message. So Sean is more concerned with his bet on the Colts or against the Colts than the matchups. Okay, a couple things here. One, I have not bet on that game, and I will not bet on that game. So you got to listen. It's not my bet. Number two, yes, I'm more concerned that the practical entirety of the betting community thinks the Texans are going to win. Historically, that's not, karmically, that's not a great recipe for success for a team. If everybody out there in the world is betting on a team, I hate to go to the cliche, but there's reasons why there's those big sparkly buildings in Las Vegas.
Well, it's one of those things where you got to check your blind spots, and sometimes the computers and the gambling line can be a good way to check your blind spot when you're starting to feel maybe perhaps overly confident about something.
Right.
You think, okay, wait a little bit. What do the people without an emotional interest in this game feel about it? And if the people without an emotional interest in it feel a bit more skeptical than you do, then you got to remember, all right, yeah, there are reasons where this is on paper, in a lot of ways, this is probably maybe way more of an even matchup than you might feel at the moment.
Yeah.
So I don't think Sean is saying that it predicts doom for the Texans. It's just that it's probably maybe more tighter than he might be feeling after he's been hyping himself up all these weeks.
It's a concern. It's a concern. Let me put it that way. I think the Texans, now there are matchups in this game that I am concerned about for the Texans, but overall, I'm more concerned about the vast love for the Texans in the betting community than I am the Texans being able to functionally overcome things with the Colts. I just don't like the karma of it. You know what I mean? Like, it's tried and true, man. The house wins eventually, and the house stands to win.
Whoa. Well, I don't want to dig into it too much, but I mean, for the most part with sports gambling, it's a 50-50 prop. You can trick yourself into thinking you're a much better sports gambler than you are, because it's really
been doing it for years.
It's almost mathematically impossible to not win 50% of your bets in sports gambling when you're betting straight up on games.
Yep.
That's the way it's all designed. So, but in those instances where like the public really jump, if all you did was jump on the side of the public, in which the public is heavily favoring one side, then you're going to lose more than 50% of the time.
That's my point.
That's the problem. That's where the human element gets into it a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As far as the bets going on up here at the station, this is the first time I get to see Lopez since the Notre Dame Fighting Irish beat up on his Texas A&M and your Texas A&M Fighting Aggies, Seth. He and I made a wager last week that the loser, which is him, would have to wear the helmet of the opposing school for the entire show one day, and during the toss, sing the fight song of that team, or the war hymn, I guess it would be, for the Aggies. So fortunately, I don't have to do that. Lopez will have to do it. So he's going to have to wear a helmet, a Notre Dame helmet, for an entire show, which should make for some entertaining stuff on YouTube, I would imagine. You can watch us on YouTube and Twitch. So there's that. The other bet going on has far more permanent, not permanent, but longer lasting effects. Apparently Ron and Tyler made a little bet that I was unaware of. I was out Thursday and Friday of last week, but I guess it took place then. A little hair bet based on the outcome of the Royals and the Astros.
Like, you talk about blonde? Hey, I'll do a side bet with you right now.
I'll straight up do it.
Tyler, if one of them sweeps the four, we got to dye it blonde.
I'm in, man. I'm in.
That's the side bet. That's not the big one. That's just me and you. We got a
like
side bet.
Yeah, y'all got
like
a side bet for you two. Ron's looking for a reason to go with these golden
full,
tips.
But it's full.
I'm not, but it'd be hilarious.
I gotta go full.
Courtney, I ain't got nothing to do with it.
Okay, Courtney is Ron's wife. So Clint's already explaining himself right
there. I wondered about this, though, too, because I wondered if this was a bet that, you know, maybe Ron didn't secretly want to lose, just because maybe he's been toying with the idea of getting his hair dyed anyway.
Okay.
I feel like he might be like, oh no, I've got to dye my hair blonde, but now he's got a good excuse to do it.
How do you think he'll look with blonde hair?
I think he'll look pretty good.
You do?
I'm trying to visualize it.
I think it's going to be funny.
Ron's got a little bit of that consummate, you know, because of his glasses and everything. He looks, you know, in the way Urquidy looks like a little league dad.
Yeah.
I feel like Ron has a little bit of that going.
Yes.
Like in a good, he's got like a lovable little league dad vibe to him.
Right.
And, the hair might conflict with that a little bit, which can be a good thing. Maybe it'll kind of give him a little bit more of an edge or less of a dad quality.
Maybe. Well, that's the thing. It'll definitely give him less of a dad quality. Here's the thing. A, he is a dad. B, he shows up at a lot of dad stuff. You know what I mean? It's like one thing if you're a dad, but you don't show up at a lot of like the neighborhood meetings or the cookouts or the little league or the what. He's going to have to show up at these things and they're going to be looking, who is this guy with the blonde hair over here? Like this.
Yeah.
Who's the guy with the dad shorts and the dad shirt and the dad glasses and the dad bod? With the hair of somebody who's going to the club in 4 hours.
I don't know, man. I just part of this is this sort of we're diving into like cross-cultural hair stuff and everything, and that's fraught with peril.
I don't know, man.
I'm not making any judgments about anybody and what they choose to do with their hair. Okay,
I'm not judging. I just think he's going to look silly. That's all. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Come at me.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm here for it. Maybe he wants to do it. But I think the reason why you bet something like that is because you don't want to do it or you think you will look silly.
Yeah, I think he might have snuck in under the radar.
So it's a faux bet.
Losing the whole. You make a bet with a girl, and if you lose, you're going to have to take her out to dinner. Can't believe I lost that bet. Yeah.
Okay, I need to know this. Tyler's,
yeah, you finagle your way into a date.
Tyler's right across the hall right now. I feel like we need to ask him about this, if he got that sense. Now, how do you think Tyler would have looked if he had dyed his hair blonde?
I think Tyler can pull it off.
You think? I think he looks sillier than show, man.
Tyler can pull it off just because he's got that. Tyler's kind of got that sleep-deprived hipster look to him, like almost like this is a kid that was, this is a guy that probably still, you know, he's not afraid to go out to the club until 3 a.m., you know, it's just, he's got a youthful vibe to
him.
He
does? Can he keep the beard? If he dyed his hair blonde, would he be able to keep the beard? Like, his beard is black. It's naturally black.
I think he'd be able to pull it off. I think he looks like an interesting dude. He kind of looks like a guy that's like, he can sit in with a craft beer crowd, but you might find him at a heavy metal concert
or whatever.
I think he's kind of a chameleon with
his
look.
Blonde hair with dark beard. He looks like somebody just walked out of a shower at a truck stop or something like that. I don't know. He looked grimy.
I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Like a trucker or like a hooker?
Like a trucker. Either one. You take your pick. Yeah, I just think he looked. Okay. I think he looked grimy. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. No disrespect to the truckers out there.
He's a trucker who's showering. Truckers don't look like... That's the thing. One thing I've noticed over the time.
A non-trucker walking out of a shower at a truck stop.
I like going to the truck stops because they usually have awesome selection and facilities and everything, and clean facilities.
Yeah.
But the truckers are a wide and vast array these days of different looks. There's no standard. A guy might be wearing... A guy might be wearing like athletic shorts and an Under Armour t-shirt, or he might have Wranglers and cowboy boots on. They're not all strung out on meth the way they were back in the day. It's different.
You seem uncomfortable with my stereotyping that might be going on in this segment right now.
I don't know if it's as much stereotyping. I'll be 100% honest with you. It's not like I'm totally dialed in on African-American hair culture or anything.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's more of a... There's an historical tie to a lot of the decisions that people make with their hair.
Do you think there's an historical tie to Ron wanting to have his hair blonde?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Well,
I don't want to weigh in on it.
I have a strong opinion, and I don't think it is. Yeah,
I know. It's like at some point a quote from Malcolm X comes up, and then I'm out of my skis.
Hey, Reggie's
man.
Here. Can I ask Reggie about it?
Wow.
Is that okay?
Oh wow!
Yeah. We're gonna play Ask Black.
I didn't know Reggie was black, Sean. I don't see color the way you do in the world. Okay,
Seth, you wouldn't be the first one of our listeners that has said that they didn't realize that I was a black man. So.
Well, this doesn't sound good for me at all.
Is it acceptable for me to say that Ron with blonde hair is going to look a little silly, I think?
Wow, so Cisco looks silly?
Yeah. Kind of.
Thank you, John.
That's a legend in the black community. What are you
doing? Still looks a little silly.
Seth Brothers part of, like, he's a dad that goes to Pop Warner football and wears glasses and wears dad clothes. And the blonde hair, that doesn't compute to me necessarily.
Anyone over the age of 35 that dyes their hair blonde looks silly.
Okay, yeah. Like,
anyone.
Remember when
Roger Clemens
had
the
frosted tips? Am I this far out over my skis
tips?
Right now?
Remember when Roger Clemens had
the,
he was 50
he
years
looks
old?
Silly. He looks silly. Yes, silly. And I said at the time, he looks silly. And I don't think it was any homage to some cultural thing going on with Roger Clemens.
I didn't think it was either, Sean. But, I think you could say cross-culturally that anytime you're in your mid-30s and older and you're doing something that looks like what the young people are doing,
yes.
And you're trying way too hard.
That's what I'm saying, man.
You're right. I just really wanted to, like, push back, you know, on some, you do what you want when you're popping.
Yeah.
However, I realize that I'm not that guy. Like, I very much am the get a respectable haircut.
Yes.
Like, I realize I'm somebody's daddy at that point in that way. So, yes, I feel like Ron, get a respectable haircut.
I can't wait to see it.
Hair color, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, how are you?
So that was the one bet we were talking about. The other one we talked about was the one that you and I had on the Aggies and the Fighting Irish.
Yes, and thank you to the Fighting Irish for not allowing me to not be strung along by the Aggies this year.
You're out.
It's a done deal. It's a done deal.
1 week? He's out. You hear that, Seth? John's out on your Aggies right now.
I know. Yeah, he was out on the Astros earlier this year.
That's true.
I think he knows what he's doing.
There is that.
Can we bring it back to Cisco for just one moment?
That's what my life is about. Let's do it.
I know I'm guilty of always wanting to take it back to Cisco. Does it strike as any of you guys as odd that when you think of, like, pop culture phenomenon songs that were just everywhere for a period of time, you hear them again. Like, they keep coming up. Like, Hey Ya. Hey Ya was such a huge song, and you still hear it, and it's still, like, you can still, it's fun when you hear it. We never hear the thong song anymore. Thong song doesn't pop up.
We don't.
What's that?
We don't.
I think part of that is because because the thong became like the standard underwear for a lot of women where it hadn't been before.
Yeah.
And I think people don't realize that we used to live in an age of very few thongs in our life. That Cisco is a victim of his own success.
Mm. Are you writing like a dissertation on that was eloquent.
I think that's brilliant. I think that's a hell of a take right there.
Also, don't say we. I listen to the thong song quite frequently myself.
Are you ready to pay off tomorrow?
I am ready to pay off. Shout out to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish for the win and for putting me at peace for the next 12 weeks. And shout out to Sister Ambrose, Sister Mary Ambrose, my second grade teacher at St. Anne Catholic School in San Antonio. Used to have us sing the Notre Dame fight song every Friday morning.
Really?
I know it by heart.
Every Friday morning or just during the season?
Every Friday morning.
Really?
She went to St. Mary's.
So you still know it?
I could sing it right now if I had to.
No. Save it for tomorrow.
Off the top of my... Now, I might need a couple of... I'll have it open just in case.
Do you need me to, like, start you in? Like, cheer
for...
You'll be good. I'm looking forward to it.
So, Sister Mary Ambrose, you have her to thank. I think I can do it. I'm going to be wearing a helmet, a gold dome helmet.
Yes.
Which has a story.
Yeah. Oh, really?
It has a story.
Okay, I was worried I'd have to get... Because when we made the bet, I'm like, okay, well, if Notre Dame wins... I got to find a helmet somewhere. I was looking up on Amazon over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I want to pay $179 just so Lopez can pay off this bet?
I bought a Newt Rockne type helmet just in case.
Okay.
That's a name you don't hear all the time.
just because even if I lost the bet, I'm still going to use it as artwork in my office.
There you go. Yeah.
So that there's that. But I have my gold dome helmet from high school. Last time I wore it was 1979.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And I will wear it tomorrow.
Has your head gotten bigger since then?
Probably.
Okay.
So he'll be
figuratively for sure.
Broadcasting through adversity tomorrow. That's
good.
Yeah. Seth is going to love this helmet tomorrow.
Oh, yeah?
It's those ones. Remember, Seth, when you used to have all the paint would come off the front, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It'd be white in the front and gold everywhere.
And it'd be spattered on the other team's
helmet.
With
other teams. Had some purple, some red, some,
in a much different age, that was like a sign of honor. Is like, how much could you? You were specifically spearing people to try to get
swapping
more scuffs
paint
on your helmet.
Yeah. Oh, they taught me to lead with my head.
Yeah, you were volunteer.
Lead with your head.
Getting CTE.
Yes,
is what you were doing.
You had this lethal weapon that you could use. Why would you not? It's exactly. Like, yeah, it's like having a knife and not using it in a knife fight.
All right, I'm done. I'm going to go assess myself a little bit.
So tomorrow,
bit.
Crosstalk.
Yeah, crosstalk. We'll do the... Seth, antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies.
All right, thank you. We are done. We're out of time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.